Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And because there's so much health news, I wanted to jump into this story briefly before we continue answering questions. Radio program at AOL.com, the destination for questions. We thank you. We still have a lot of questions to go through. Mm-hmm. But, all right. Another controversy in the field of nutrition is it's about fish oil. Now, we know that for so long, fish oil was touted as heart healthy.
Yeah.
Eskimos have virtually no heart problems. They practically subsist on fish oil, blubber that's rich in omega-3. So that was the beginning of the omega-3 of the fish oil hypothesis, heart health.
Right.
And then, you know, we would all quaff in fish oil and, you know, taking it for preventive purposes. And then there were some studies that kind of they sort of questioned the efficacy of fish oil. You know, some studies where they gave people a fish oil pill and, you know, over 2-3 years later, there wasn't any difference in cardiovascular outcomes. And sometimes they used an improper placebo, like olive oil.
Ah.
So you give like an olive oil placebo and you give a fish oil placebo and there isn't
any
difference.
But they're both heart healthy.
No, they're both heart healthy.
You can't compare.
That is a classic mistake.
Yes.
You know, wrong placebo, wrong dose, short duration of studies. Mm-hmm. But anyway, along comes big company, Amarin Pharmaceuticals. They come up with a purified EPA product that's patented and expensive.
Yeah.
And they do the research and they show a whopping 30% reduction in cardiovascular risk by taking their proprietary fish oil. At the same time, the fish oil capsule, you know, health food store variety, disappointing results. So what the pharmaceutical industry would like you to believe is, well, don't take that junk that you get in a health food store. Take our purified pharmaceutical grade fish oil, because that's the real stuff, and harness the benefits of EPA. The product's called VASEPA. And doctors are now prescribing it, and the stock has gone up astronomically. So circling back, there's an article in today's Science Daily. Omega-3 fish oil supplements linked with lower cardiovascular disease risk. Now, this wasn't VASEPA. This was supplements. People received omega-3 fish oil supplements in randomized clinical trials had lower risk of heart attack and other cardiovascular disease events compared to those who were given placebo. This is a meta-analysis from Harvard's T.H. Chan School of Public Health and Brigham and Women's Hospital. Research found an association between daily omega-3 supplementation and reduced risk of most cardiovascular disease outcome. So, finally, this kind of solves this conundrum, because how could it be that fish oil is like nothing? I mean, the supplements do nothing, but the purified EPA, the pharmaceutical grade, is the bomb? That's just, from a scientific standpoint, that's kind of paradoxical. So, what I will tell you that since some of these negative studies on fish oil, the supplement industry is seeing a decline in people taking fish oil.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of headlines saying, oh, fish oil trials, disappointing. Do you remember the Times had a lot of negative stuff on fish oil?
Yep.
Like, why are people bothering to take it? It's not really working. Now, all of a sudden, hello, it does work.
It does work. Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
One thing that did not seem to prevent, there was no benefit for stroke. And that kind of parallels what happens to the Eskimos, is the Eskimos don't have less strokes. They have slightly higher risk of hemorrhagic strokes.
Oh, thinner blood.
Thinner blood.
Blood's too thin.
So So
too much whale blubber.
Yeah, I mean, if you
too much omega 3.
I mean, if you consume the equivalent of like
it's like 80%
20 capsules of
their diet,
of fish oil,
the Inuits are eating that much.
You might have very thin blood. You might be more prone to a hemorrhagic stroke.
Yeah.
So you know, it's like too much aspirin, too much blood thinners.
Mm.
Well, aspirin prevents against most types of strokes, but it also encourages paradoxically the other type of bleeding stroke.
Mm.
But okay, so. Let's just leave it at that. There's more to be said on this, but I just wanted to announce that because finally is vindication for something that we've known for a long time has so many cardiovascular benefits, and I've written about it, you know, in journals and in the face of some, I think, skepticism from the medical establishment and also from the media. The media has recently been hostile to fish oil.
Well, look at their advertising. Oh,
yeah.
Especially the evening news.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, ask your doctor about so-and-so drug.
Right.
And may cause suicidal thoughts, may cause you to die.
The more expensive, the better.
Exactly. And all the while you see people just happy and going about their lives.
What I like, speaking of which, I say, it's funny because I just saw, I always see these ads for ulcerative colitis, and what are they doing? They're going to the fair, and they're eating like a chili dog.
Oh, yeah. Then looking for a bathroom.
And looking for a bathroom. So is the idea that you take the drug so that you can eat like a chili dog, or you can eat, or pizza.
Right.
Making pizza. So here's a new, there's another ad now for a very expensive drug, Tysabri.
Uh-huh.
No, not Tysabri. Tysabri is another medication. But it's an immunosuppressive drug used for psoriasis. Very powerful drug.
Mm-hmm.
And what do they show during that fluff thing where they read all the side effects? The guy with the psoriasis has a pasta maker.
Oh,
and he's making pasta.
Oh, boy.
Now, wouldn't it be the first thing
gluten.
That you would tell a patient, you know, who's got psoriasis?
What are you doing with that gluten?
Stop eating gluten.
Yeah.
No, you could take this drug and you can make pasta, and you know, he's happy because he can make his can use the pasta machine to make the pasta.
On a lower end ad, Larry the cable guy eating a big chili dog, but taking Pepcid first.
Right.
So he doesn't suffer the consequences later. So take your Pepcid and eat whatever you dang well please.
Or Zantac, which we now know is contaminated with NMDA.
Oh, my, I was reading something about that. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I'm glad there's vindication. Fish oil supplements are indeed helpful.
Yeah.
So, even though Big Pharma continues to tout their own product.
Well, you know, look, I mean, I'm not knocking their product. I mean, they have good clinicals.
Yeah.
And if you want to get it from your doctor. And
if you want to pay that much.
Well, but
when
it's covered by insurance.
Ah, right.
It's like you're not paying, but in effect you're paying because you paid an insurance premium and or the government is paying, you know.
Well, one way or another, they're paying for it because they're paying that monthly premium.
Yeah.
So it's indirect.
It's free. Free can have certain hidden costs.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
So anyway. Let's move on to questions.
We have one from Tom. Your podcasts are stellar and a beacon of hope amidst the medical misinformation spread by mainstream media. There you go, Dr. Hoffman.
Tom is a registered nurse.
Tom is a registered nurse.
So it's actual person said that. Okay.
Yeah. Tom is actually a retired acute dialysis nurse.
Oh, excellent. That's great
now,
to hear.
Interestingly, then here's the irony.
Yes.
He has relentless kidney stones.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's like karmic revenge.
Honestly, what's going on?
He works in the dialysis.
Yeah.
And
he's got these chronic kidney stones. I started testing the pH of my urine with a laboratory-grade pH meter and discovered that despite avoiding oxalate and consuming lots of water and citrate, that my urine pH was only a 4.5.
Very alkaline.
Yeah.
Very acid.
So, my research indicates that calcium oxalate stones can only form if urine pH is less than 5.5. So, I began taking handfuls of potassium bicarbonate 2-3 times a day.
And that's one of the strategies.
Yeah, and he's been able to remain stone-free for about 6 months.
Okay, good.
The question Tom
and
has...
By the way, that's a prescription medication.
Yeah, that is.
You can't get it at the health food store.
Right. Question for you is, why am I creating so much acid? I'm gluten-free, I'm dairy-free due to psoriatic arthritis and I also have type 2 diabetes, would getting an organic acid urine test be of value? I also have trimethylaminuria.
Okay.
To confuse.
It's a confounder. I mean, it doesn't speak, I don't think, to the issue of the acidity.
Yeah.
This is something we do have to analyze this person for.
Type 2 diabetes, psoriatic arthritis.
Oh, yeah.
Trimethylaminuria.
Huh. Well, yeah. I think diabetes per se is a state where
you could have higher uric acid.
Ineffective metabolism.
That would be uric
acid. And, you know, maybe there's some energetic stasis that allows lactic acid to accumulate, you know, because of uncoupling of energy metabolism.
Yeah.
They say that diabetes is not just a sugar disease, it's a metabolic disorder where there's just an uncoupling of poor energy burning, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's why diabetics are fatigued. Maybe there's some acidity, maybe poor circulation, and some, you know, I don't know, a lot of possibilities there. So let's talk about this
trimethylaminuria.
Trimethylaminuria, a very interesting disorder.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fish smell disorder.
Yeah.
And there's people who smell fishy. They have fishy body odor. And they have a defect, a genetic defect in their ability to break down trimethylamine, TMA, which is a little different than TMAO.
Right.
TMAO is...
Which I think is on the verge of being debunked, by the way.
Thought to be a cardiovascular risk. TMA is, you know, if you don't have the right genes, you don't break down basically choline, right?
Mm-hmm.
Choline
hence
is amazing.
The fishy odor.
So what you need to do is you need to be on a low choline diet, which is not great because
You need choline your brain.
Is really important for the brain.
Oh my goodness.
But, you know, it's a conundrum. Do you want to be a social pariah? Because by the way, the disease is not going to kill you, and it doesn't cause kidney stones, to my knowledge. And it just merely makes you're healthy, but you're smelly.
Yeah, you're healthy, but you're smelly. Tom, what we do know about relentless oxalate stones is you need to take better care of microbiota if you're not already doing so.
Very good, yeah. Look at Oxalobacter.
A
gastro...
Formigenes. Oxalobacter formigenes is the species you want more of. How do you populate that? You take a lot of different lactobacillus species and a lot of bifidobacterium species. I should revive an old kidney stones article now.
I'll bet you that within the next decade, there will be a probiotic for people with kidney stones.
We're seeing more and more kidney stones.
They have to research it, safety test it, get an approval because it is a bacteria. We don't want a bacteria to be people be taking it that just has some harmful effect on the body. So it's going to take a long time for that to achieve approval.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually helps with metabolism of oxalate.
Yeah.
The other thing, you know, the maldigestion, steatorrhea can cause oxalate stones. You know, people who have a short gut syndrome, they have steatorrhea and they get stones more. People with ulcerative colitis, for example, or people who've had intestinal surgery. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hydrate, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes without saying.
Take some probiotics to see if you can't get your gut to have more of that species,
Oxalobacter. He takes potassium,
Bicarb.
Bicarb, right. Okay.
And was able to remain stone-free for nearly 6 months.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's still going this way.
Well, that's a challenging case, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, why is he type 2 diabetic? I mean, has he tried
autoimmune with psoriatic arthritis.
Very low-carb diet, you know.
Yeah, he's gluten-free, dairy-free for the psoriatic arthritis.
But I'm not sure what he says gluten-free, he might be having a lot of gluten-free...
Exactly. You know, and if you're having a moderate carb diet, that's not helping the diabetes.
And things like that. You know.
Which then can mess with your microbiome enough. Diabetics have a different microbiome than people without diabetes as well. So this is...
Okay.
It's interesting.
Good point at which to pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this vital message with you. So... here goes, listen up.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They are what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And also, there's some very, very fine products. We vet them carefully. We also make many of these products available to you via FullScript. So check out drhoffmanstore.com, sign up for FullScript, and there you can shop for some of the really physician-quality products that the very self-same products that we prescribe to our patients, Layla and I.
Yeah,
and that are now available to you via mm-hmm. FullScript. It's a unique opportunity to get the highest quality supplements at great prices with great service and delivery. Don't go to Amazon. Little advertisement here is use FullScript to get really high quality supplements because they actually pay attention to. They don't onboard everything.
Mm-hmm.
They're not mercenary. They're
discerning.
So show me the certificates of quality.
Mm-hmm.
Also these products are physician recommended, so they don't just come off the store of discount the shelves of discount drugstores.
Mm-hmm.
There's no really wacky crazy products that have hidden Viagra in them or some or weight loss products that have speed in them or dangerous mm-hmm. products. And
like weight loss products used to be back in the 60s.
And also, the real deal.
Have some speed.
Yeah, right. But also with all the revelations about counterfeit products on Amazon, you don't know what you're getting.
Yeah.
Amazon's an aggregator. They don't care. They really, it's like whack-a-mole for them to try and keep really,
right.
If a product kills someone outright, they'll take it off the market. But if mm-hmm. it's like a little, if it's a bad quality product, they'll say, hey.
And that's prone to fraud.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah.
So they're not really testing anything at all. It's just a place for you to go get.
It's the jungle.
It's the jungle.
You know the song? Welcome to the jungle.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Motley Crue.
Oh. So we have a question from Caroline.
No, that's not Motley Crue. That's...
I don't know who that is.
Oh.
I don't know who that is. Yeah, I know Bungle in the Jungle by...
it takes us back.
Okay. So Caroline writes, Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I have a question for you regarding two supplements, both of which you've mentioned on previous shows. I tried berberine for the past year after hearing you describe a successful trial done with diabetics, which resulted in their A1C being lowered. Although I'm not diabetic, I followed the protocol along with my normal low-carb diet, but was disappointed to see my A1C only drop from 6.0 to 5.9.
Hmm.
Caroline, you're teetering closer to diabetes than you think. You need to lower those carbs more if it only went from a 6.0 to a 5.9.
What was the dietary intervention again?
She's on a normal low-carb diet, but she took berberine. And to see if her A1C would drop lower, but it dropped from a 6.0 to a 5.9.
Good. It's helped a little bit.
What Caroline did see was an amazing drop in her cholesterol from 240 to 193.
Guns N' Roses.
It was Guns N' Roses? Okay. You just looked that up, didn't you?
I had to jog my memory.
So my cholesterol dropped from 240 to 193, which I assume was due to the berberine because nothing else changed for me. I thought the supplement bergamot was the one you recommended to lower cholesterol. So my question is whether...
But berberine will also lower cholesterol.
Yeah. So which of the two supplements, bergamot or berberine, would be the best to lower cholesterol, or would you recommend either to lower A1C? Can both supplements be taken together, or is that overkill?
It depends on...
You could take them both,
There's some people who are... When it comes to blood sugar products, they're different. People respond to different things. Gymnema helps some people.
Oh, remember Gymnema?
Especially when there's a problem with not enough insulin production. But mm-hmm. when there's overproduction of insulin and insulin resistance, berberine is helpful.
Yeah.
So, you know, chromium can be helpful for people, usually people who underproduce insulin.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much for insulin resistance.
Mm-hmm. But more to help regulate the blood sugar.
Yeah.
Also used in depression, chromium. Yeah. Not as much anymore, but I think way back when,
what's her exercise
10,
level?
Ago.
What's her, does she tell us anything about her weight
yeah.
or height or body mass?
No.
Fat lean ratio?
No.
Diet composition, other than that she's on a low, what she terms a low carb diet.
A normal low carb diet.
Which may not be a low carb diet.
Yeah.
May not be low carb enough.
That's true. But the drop in the cholesterol could be due to the berberine. But bergamot is also used for that. You could use both. I would continue the berberine, Caroline, and really check your diet. Because 6.0 to 5.9, whether it, yes, it's a trend in the right direction, but you need to go lower than that.
Yeah,
you want
to
go
like
lower
to get,
than that.
Like, you know, 5.5, 5.4, 5.3.
Yes. Yes.
For optimization. Some mm-hmm. people have trouble. And by the way, anemia can affect this too.
Yeah. In fact, anemia
can. A lot of women are anemic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that would be something. But you can safely take both berberine and bergamot for your cholesterol and
B&B.
The B&B, right. B&B for cholesterol as well as your A1C. But you could do better with your A1C. I would definitely look to your diet for that. All right. Thank you for that question.
And for a great article on what is hemoglobin A1C, we have one in our archives. And we publish that from time to time. It's a popular article.
It's a good one.
It explains, you know, all the ins and outs of hemoglobin A1C.
Mm-hmm.
We might republish that you know, some week when I'm, whatever, away.
Mm-hmm. On vacation or so.
Yep.
Charlie writes, is neringenin okay with atorvastatin?
Okay. Well, now, so let's first ask, why would someone take neringenin?
Neringenin is the enzyme found in grapefruit.
Yes.
In citrus, but particularly grapefruit.
Right. Would you take it as a supplement?
No. Neringenin is the enzyme that slows down detoxification. And because it slows down detoxification, builds up levels of things like the dose of the drug that you're taking. That's why grapefruit is often, is discouraged if you're taking something like atorvastatin, which is a statin medication for cholesterol.
And you know what? It's interesting. It's sort of the neringenin is sort of the opposite of St. John's wort. St. John's wort works on a similar pathway to reduce the efficacy of medications because it speeds up the metabolism of that CYP.
Yeah.
You
know, for that reason, I am never prescribing St. John's wort for anybody. It just interferes with too many medications.
If medications. But if they're not, like a simple, like a young person, who wants to try a non-pharmaceutical way to treat their depression.
I like SAMe first.
Okay, SAMe or St. John's wort has, unfortunately, I think, plummeted in popularity because of the recognition that it's got a lot of drug interactions.
It interacts with so many things.
But, you know.
And you know what often happens is somebody starts taking a supplement like St. John's wort, but then later on they develop something, invariably have to take a prescription med for it, and they're not telling their doctor they're taking St. John's wort, and you should always tell your doctor what you're taking, and especially tell your nutritionist what you're taking.
A lot of people despair of telling their doctor what they're taking, because their doctors just roll their eyes, discourage them, and don't understand the drug-nutrient
interaction. Don't understand, and it can be humiliating to be on the other, on the receiving end of that.
So there is a little bit of a rationale for taking neringenin.
To slow down over people who detox too fast?
No.
And have a buildup of intermediate
It's been proposed
products?
As a way to treat metabolic syndrome.
Hmm.
But, you know, this is not...
That's interesting.
Let me see what the conclusion is.
The grapefruit diet can help metabolic syndrome?
Effect of neringenin on hypertension. Neringenin supplementation found to improve hypertension in obese rats. Okay, good for the rats. We've created a lot of diseases in rats. There's some really healthy rats in these laboratories. We've cured their cancer. They've walked after spinal cord injuries. It's amazing. They say, okay, what else? So the proposal is neringenin, you know, seems to have some...
That's why they don't have grapefruit in hospitals. They don't even serve grapefruit or grapefruit juice in hospitals.
But
because
I think grapefruit is healthy.
It is. I love grapefruit.
You know, they say eat a grape, you know, the grapefruit diet
grapefruit.
Where you're supposed to eat a grapefruit before you start eating anything and it kind of fills you up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the conclusion, I'm just trying to get the bottom line. Mm-hmm. Further, what they're saying is further clinical investigation should be carried out with neurogenin in metabolic diseases. That's their conclusion.
Well, that's the last sentence of every scientific study.
More research.
More research is needed. That means keep the money coming.
Send
people.
Money.
Send money. We need more grants.
Right.
Yeah.
It's an antioxidant. So, right. You know, we're not saying don't eat. The grapefruit industry has been devastated because of that, just like with St. John's wort, because people are afraid to have grapefruits now.
Yeah. But you don't want to take grapefruit if you're taking a statin. Charlie's taking
a
statin.
Oh, no. I agree.
You know, I've had people come in and say, well, I eat my grapefruit at 7:30 in the morning and I don't take my Lipitor until 8 o'clock at night. But still, I don't know.
One thought is that it could act as hamburger helper for statins. Like someone who might ordinarily require 40 milligrams of a statin, if they have like 5 milligrams or 10 milligrams, if they took a grapefruit every day.
It would boost it. It would potentiate it.
Right.
It would potentiate it by slowing the detox. Right. Interesting.
I don't know. It's hard to get people to do anything reliably on a daily basis. So it'd probably be best to avoid it if you're on meds.
Yeah.
Also, certain other hypertensive meds can be affected by that. So check with your pharmacist. You can actually look it up there now. Look for grapefruit interactions. You can see a list of medications that might be affected. You know, many people are taking something and say, oh my goodness, I'm taking, I don't know, Lexapro. Can I have a grapefruit? Mm. Look it up.
Yeah, look it up. You know, you could also go to drugs.com.
Right.
It's a very useful website. drugs.com and look it up, and there's a whole lot of information there for you too.
Okay. Well, we have fun.
Charlie, thanks for your question.
Interesting questions. We have a couple more in the mailbag, but keep them coming.
Yeah.
Radioprogram@AOL.com, the destination for questions, and we'll be back to field your inquiries next week. Thank you, Layla, for joining us.
Thanks, Dr. Hoffman. Thanks, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.